Just so you know that I haven't forgotten our time of deepening and silence together, I will place it later in my sermon. It's very late at night. Very late. And you're driving home alone in your car. There are no other vehicles on the road. Up ahead, the green light turns to amber and then turns to red as you arrive at the intersection. What do you do? One definition of integrity is doing the right thing when nobody is watching. So at this red light in the middle of the night when no one is watching, even though there are no other vehicles anywhere that you can see, perhaps you wait for the light to change green. Integrity is doing the right thing for you, meaning your sense of right and wrong comes into play. Your moral compass moves you, and not because the neighbors are watching you, or your son, or your minister, or God, or the police, or any other person or institution that you give authority to. Integrity is acting on your own authority, making choices that you deem right, or refraining from actions that you consider wrong. Another definition of integrity is the state of being whole or undivided. I understand this experience of wholeness to be the consequence of making decisions that are in alignment with what you deem to be right. Every time you make a decision that is right for you, the result is we feel stronger in ourselves. We feel more solid, more whole. So I invite you to think of an example in your life of making a decision or taking action on the basis of what you deemed to be right action, small or large. Do you remember how you felt after making this decision? Let me give you a few examples. How about using your energy to support a cause that you believe in? Saying yes to your values by donating your time or your money. You're all doing this right now in some way with the pledge drive. And the litmus test is that because this giving is in alignment with your values, it will feel good for you to give. It would be my hope that it feels like you are in integrity with yourself when you give to Beacon. Another example of right action in alignment with your integrity, this is a small one. You know, I care about relieving suffering in the world, and I also believe in kindness. So a very small thing that I do, which I think I've mentioned before, is I carry those granola bars in the glove compartment of my car, so that when I encounter a person inevitably at a stoplight asking for help, I can place a couple of granola bars in their hands. It feels, in a small way, right. Sometimes one risks conflict to remain in integrity with oneself, as one might do when raising your voice to stop a bully or a racist or a homophobe whose position or actions pose a threat to your sense of integrity. Rarely, but perhaps sometimes, one might even risk one's own safety or life in order to stay in integrity with oneself. This week, we are approaching Remembrance Day, a time to reflect on the men and women who have risked their lives and their safety to hold on to their integrity, and for many of us, the integrity of our entire society. And so now I share with you a story of how the Unitarian Flaming Chalice came to be. I take in part of this story off the UUA webpage. In Paris in the late 1930s, the artist and atheist Hans Deutsch was drawing critical cartoons of Adolf Hitler. When the Nazis invaded Paris in 1940, he abandoned all he had and fled to the south of France and then to Spain, and finally, with an altered passport, into Portugal. It was there, in Portugal, that he met the Reverend Charles Joy, the executive director of the Unitarian Service Committee. Now, just point out, this is the American Unitarian Service Committee, which was distinct from the Canadian Unitarian Service Committee that was headed by Lotta Hitchmanova. So the American Unitarian Service Committee was founded to assist Eastern Europeans, among them Unitarians, as well as many Jews, who needed to escape Nazi persecution. From his Lisbon headquarters, Reverend Joy oversaw a secret network of couriers and agents. Deutsch was most impressed, and soon he was working for the Unitarian Service Committee. He wrote to Reverend Joy these words: "There is something that urges me to tell you how much I admire your utter self-denial and readiness to serve, to sacrifice all, your time, your health, your well-being, to help, help, help. I am not what you may actually call a believer, but if your kind of life is the profession of your faith, as it is, I feel sure, then religion, ceasing to be magic and mysticism, becomes confession to practical philosophy and, what is more, to active, really useful social work. And this religion, with or without a heading, is one to which even a godless fellow like myself can say wholeheartedly, yes." The Unitarian Service Committee was an unknown organization in 1941, which was a handicap in that cloak and dagger world of the underground movement, where establishing trust quickly across barriers of language and nationality and faith could mean life instead of death. Disguises, signs and countersigns, and midnight runs across guarded borders were the dangerous means to freedom. Reverend Joy asked Deutsch to create a symbol for their papers. He is known to have said, a symbol, to make them look official, these papers, to give dignity and importance to them, and at the same time to symbolize the spirit of our work. When a document may keep a man out of jail, give him standing with governments and police, it is important that it looks important. And so this is when Hans Deutsch drew the image of the flaming chalice and made his lasting contribution to the Unitarian Service Committee and, as it turned out, to our whole Unitarian and Unitarian Universalist tradition. Today, the flaming chalice represents, in many spheres, our religion and the integrity of our tradition that encourages all of us to act on our principles and thereby live a deeper kind of integrity. Let us take a moment now to hold in our hearts and in our minds those that we know or know of, men and women who have risked their own comfort, their own safety, so that the rest of us can live in a society that respects the inherent worth and dignity of every person, regardless of religious belief, cultural practices, sexual or gender identity, age, or ability. Let us now sit together in respectful silence. telling the truth is important. Standing up for the truth of one's principles and values is very important. My uncle, not a blood relative really, but a friend of my mother's who became part of our family, he was a pacifist in London, England, in the 1930s and 40s. Jerry didn't support the war. It was a very unpopular position to take. He didn't support the use of violence in any form to solve human problems. A deeply spiritual man, a follower of Gandhi, he chose to stand very much alone in his integrity, despite the violent resistance against his position. And he spent a better part of that period of time of the Second World War in a British jail for his pacifist principles. He stood up for truth, for what was true, and had integrity for him. A lie is a sacrifice of our integrity. We are raised not to lie, as I tried to point out in the children's story this morning. We are told lying is bad, and it will get us into trouble, and so it will. If we don't have a sense of truth and untruth, we have no integrity, or we can't grow our integrity. And ultimately, our society loses its integrity too. Loss of trust in individuals and institutions when truth is not held up corrupt the fabric of our society. This past week, we heard in the news that a provincial official lied under oath. And I was relieved to hear the public outrage that action received. If we do not know clearly the absolute importance of telling the truth, we debase our institutions and our civil society. Each lie creates a flaw in our experience of our own personal wholeness. Often we lie to protect ourselves from feeling vulnerable, from feeling weak or needy. We place that lie in front of our courage so that it shields us from admitting we need help or comfort or caring. Or the lie protects us and shields us from what we perceive to be real or imagined criticism and judgment. These lies eventually weaken our integrity and belie our wholeness. So hear me when I say I am very serious about the crucial importance of telling the truth. But when is telling a lie not a sacrifice of our integrity? I ask you to think back to the story of the Second World War that I described earlier. In the underground resistance, when lying was necessary to keep yourself alive and others alive. When hiding Jews or homosexuals or gypsies or artists, atheist artists like Hans Deutsch, meant your life was in constant danger, and if confronted by the Nazis, you lied, and you lied with integrity. You lied because of integrity. The film, The Imitation Game, is the story of the British codebreakers during the Second World War. I'm hoping most of you have heard of it, know the story, or seen the film. This group of Code Breakers was an odd assortment of highly intelligent people who were put together by the British Intelligence Unit M16 to analyze and crack the communication code called Enigma, used by the Nazis. The main character in this real-life story was Alan Turing, considered to be the father of theoretical computer science, who was himself living a lie. I issue a spoiler alert at this moment, in case you have not seen the film or know the story. True story, Turing hid the truth of his homosexuality because not to do so would have landed him in jail. It was illegal to be a homosexual in Britain in those days. Or he would have been forced to take a chemical castration drug, which is, in the end, what was done to him. But the story that went with this, I wanted to share, was about the lie that the whole team of Code Breakers chose to make out of integrity. You see, in the M16 Hut 8, this team successfully broke the Enigma code. But the moment that they were successful, they also realized that if anyone else knew that they had broken the code, a new one would have been created. And the use of knowing what the enemy's plans were would have been lost. The entire Bletchley Hut 8 team decided together to lie to the whole world that a higher good may have come from it. This decision was hugely difficult, as they knew that they couldn't end the war themselves. They knew that many people would die in the short term, even close friends and family members. But they held to their high resolve. They continued to decode the plans and the movements of the enemy, filtering the information through secret channels, allowing the Allies to anticipate and strategize. And it's been estimated that their work and their lie shortened the war by 2 years. There are times when lying is necessary, and to do so sometimes has high integrity. The human journey is rarely a straight line, and the directions through it are rarely black and white. Telling the truest truth or the falsest lie may in different circumstances lead us down a road of integrity. How do we ever know for sure whether the lie or the truth has integrity? When what we do, we would do anyway, without noticing? Perhaps when our actions are informed by our principles and by our values? Courage, my friends. Courage, my friends, is often the indicator that we are on the right path, as is that inner response of wholeness. As the words to the song, "We Are One" state, may we this day pledge ourselves to that high cause of greater understanding of who we are and what in us is true.